Okay, now we're going to start on the Thysanoptera or thrips. This is another interesting group. Thysanoptera, what does Thysan mean?
You're looking at your sheet.
Thysan as in like, I'm thinking of Thysanoptera. Or am I thinking the wrong one?
Well, the Thysan means the same thing, whether it's the Thysanura.
Thysanura, yep.
Or Thysan.
And I'm immediately thinking
Thysanoptera.
Bristle, or no.
Yeah.
It is bristle. Okay.
Yeah, bristle, and pterra means wing, so these are literally the bristle wings, and you can see where the name comes from. The wings are fairly reduced down to a long stalk-like structure. There's almost no veins. The pterra branchia sometimes has a vein, and the tubulifera that we'll talk about in a minute usually lacks veins, but then they have this row of bristles all around the margins of the wings, and so that's where the name comes from. An older name, these also used to be called the Physopoda. Physo means kind of bladder, and poda means foot. And you can see the kind of the end of the tarsi or the legs look more swollen and bladder-like. So that's where that name came from. So, again, the common name is thrips. You should realize that thrips is, it's thrip singular or plural. There's no such thing as just a thrip. So it's a thrips. They are closely related to the Hemiptera, and so they are belong in this Hemipteroid group of orders. These are usually fairly small, from a half a millimeter up to about 5 millimeters. They have long, slender bodies. They have unusual mouth parts. The mouth parts are kind of cone-shaped, but they're asymmetrical. What it is that the right mandible has become atrophied or almost absent. The labrum and the clypeus, I believe, form the anterior part of the cone. The labium forms the posterior part of the cone-shaped mouth parts. There's still a couple maxillary stylets, and there's a single mandibular stylet. The other one has become atrophied. The mandibular stylet kind of enters the plant, whatever it's feeding on, and macerates up the tissue, and the two maxillary stylets form a feeding tube that then sucks up the food. The head tends to be hyponathous to slightly opisthonathous, so their mouth parts are downwards and slightly backwards. They call those mouth parts a rasping, sucking type mouth parts. So I've got, said one of the stylets, the left mandibular one is for kind of macerating the tissue. The pronotum is well developed in winged individuals. It's less well developed in non-winged ones. And as Ari mentioned, wings are long and narrow with reduced venation. And the tarsi are one or two segmented and are more bladder-like at the tip. The life cycle, again, metamorphosis, it's somewhat intermediate between gradual and complete. They have bisexual reproduction, or some species can reproduce parthenogenetically. Females can often lay eggs, but sometimes they give birth to live individuals.
Sometimes? Is it within the same species or between species?
It's probably different species, I would think. I don't know that for a fact. It says females are oviparous, lay eggs, or ovoviviparous, give birth to live young. The first two instars have no wings externally and are called larvae. There is some evidence that the wings are developing internally, though, at least in some species. Then there's can be up to several resting stages, again, that almost resemble pupae. The later instars, the wing development is external. So that's what they're saying, is this is somewhat intermediate. You know, again, there's resting stages almost resemble pupae, like you see in the holometabolus. But in the holometabolus, wing development is internal. You don't see any signs of the wings until you get to the adults. In this group, there's some evidence that some instars have internal wing development, and then the later instars have external wing development. So that's kind of bridging that gap. The wing development is somewhat intermediate between gradual metamorphosis and holo, or complete metamorphosis.
Distinguishes their pupa-like stage from an actual pupa?
It doesn't. Excuse me. They don't, you know, and when you think about Lepidoptera or that, they actually go from like a caterpillar to a pupa. It looks different. I'm not so sure that the later immature instars look that much different than the earlier ones. They just don't feed and they don't move around, so it's become more of a resting stage rather than a active feeding stage. This is another economically important group. There are a number of pests in the thrips. One that at least used to cause problems here in North Dakota was the barley thrips. On the other hand, there's a number of species that have been looked at for biological control of weedy plants, help keep invasive weeds down in certain places. Now, for this class, we just recognize the two suborders. There's two suborders, the Terebranchia and then the Tubulifera. This first handout has the Terebranchia. What you need to notice is that the posterior end of the body is somewhat cone-shaped or rounded. So, cone-shaped or rounded. And on the ventral surface, there'll be a little slit and an ovipositor. So, the Terebranchia have ovipositors. Now, I don't know what Terebranchia means, but the next one we'll see, the Tubulifera, actually makes sense, because in that group the posterior of the bodies are very tube-like. But before I go on to the Tubulifera, just to give you an idea, there's a number of families in the Terebranchia, and what you have to look at to identify families. Remember, we're talking about thrips that are less than 5 millimeters in length. Now we zoom in on the antennae, and they have these sensory cones, sensory structures on the antennae that differ in shape. Here's some that are, one's kind of bristle-like or spine-like. Here's some that are just a band going across the antennal segments. Here's some that are more bristle-like, some claw-like. But that's where distinguishing the families. Not only are these little tiny things, and then you have to go to their antennae and then look for these little... And so that's why we don't really require any families in the thrips. The Terebranchia, as I said, the apex of the abdomen is rounded or cone-shaped and has that ventral slit for the ovipositor. They do kind of insert their eggs into the plant tissue. Most of these are plant feeders. There are a few species that are more predatory, but and get to talk about, I have some notes on about all the different families or some of the different families, but again, not going to go through all those. You just need to be able to recognize the two suborders. The other one, as I already now have alluded to, is the Tubulifera. And the Tubulifera now, the apex of the abdomen is more long and tube-like. And they do not have an ovipositor. So no slit, no ovipositor. I probably should have mentioned the Pterobranchia, and I did kind of mention it. Their wings, they often have a single vein in the wings. This suborder, the Tubulifera, usually do not have any veins in the wings. So the wings, if present, lack veins, or if a vein is present, it is very short.
Where would the veins be? Would it be open up, like the this thick stalk piece? Or?
Yeah, that central stalked area, there'd be a vein coming up.
It'd just be like one vein? Or
yeah, see, you can see one, this, at least on this hind wing on the Pterobranchia, yeah, there's a vein there.
Okay.
This group, if you do find it interesting, my predecessor twice removed. The guy that was here in charge of the museum right before me was a professor named Dr. Balzbach, who worked on chrysomelid beetles mostly. But the guy that was here before him was Dr. Post. And Dr. Post, I don't know what if he had a specialty group or not, but he did have a couple students who worked on the thrips of North Dakota. And so we got a couple nice publications. They're getting older now, but one of them is on the Pterobranchia of North Dakota and one's on the Tubulifera of North Dakota. So any questions on the Thysanoptera? They probably are not inserting them on the plants, probably just attaching them to the plants. I don't know for sure, but just looking real quick to see if I have anything in there. There's only one family in the Tubulifera, the Phleothripidae, but there may have several thousand species in that family. I don't see anything that I've got written down about how they lay their eggs, though. There's one that mimics and lives in ant colonies. There's actually a species in Australia that's quite large, 10 to 14 millimeters. But